add product bundles to your product pages. Make it as simple as possible as a one click to add to checkout. Customers are very visual buyers. If you can tick the different products that will go alongside the core product, the main product they're looking at, click add to basket and the job done. Within one click, you could have two, maybe three additional items added to their basket. Doesn't necessarily need to be incentivized by a discount either. Add them to the basket and then hopefully you'll see your AOV increase just as a simple integration piece of that.
It's the E-commerce Master Plan podcast, here to help you solve your marketing problems and grow your e-commerce business. Cutting through the hype to bring you inspiration and advice from the e-commerce sector and beyond. Here's your host, Chloe Thomas.
Hello and welcome. It's great to have you here. Thank you for hitting play and choosing to listen to one of our inspiring guests. I want to start with a little thank you shout out to Joe Jax. Joe got in contact via LinkedIn saying that he listens to every episode. So Joe, thank you so much for listening to every episode. And I hope this hasn't made you trip over or do something bad in the car, which I know some of you get a bit overly surprised when I mention your names. So thank you hugely, Joe, for listening and for telling us about the fact you listen to every single episode. It's awesome to have you out there listening to us. This episode is one of our celebrations of B Corp. So we did our first celebration of B Corp month, which is March every year, back in 2023. And we're doing it again this year, but this time we're doing it with a little bit of a twist. We're broadening it out from just interviews with B Corps, which is what we've done previously, into more of a series of five episodes showcasing how sustainability strategies can build your e-commerce store. In this episode, we are kicking off with a massive UK mail order and gardening brand that's the first to become a B Corp in its sector and which is doing a lot of sustainability activities. It's an interview with one of the team from Sarah Raven. We're not purely going to be talking about their B Corp status. We will be covering a little bit about how it's become part of the business, become part of their DNA and how that reflects into everything else they do. We'll also be talking, because we've got a brilliant guest from Sarah Raven, we'll be talking about elements such as how you go about doing a tech stack restructure, how you build UX into everything you do, tactics for bringing a full team together and shifting a culture. Loads of really clever stuff from someone who's been deep in the details of helping grow Sarah Raven and pretty much doubling it to 22 million a year over the last 8 years. So really, really cool to have this guest. You're going to get a lot of interesting insights from her. Make sure you listen to the end of the episode so you don't miss out on her top tips and my own take on this episode. And now to introduce our special guest. Ash Pallett has just finished 8 years as Senior Digital and E-commerce Manager at Sarah Raven, one of the UK's largest gardening brands. It's a B Corp, founded in 1999, selling via catalogues and a big commerce store. They now do annual sales of £22 million a year. Hello, Ash.
Hi, Chloe. Thank you so much for having me on.
Awesome to have you on, both because you've got amazing experience and because you're one of our listeners. And I love it when we get to actually have a listener on the show. So thank you so much for being here. Where did your e-commerce journey even start? How did you get into this world?
Great, great question. So let's rewind back to just when on my last day of college. I really didn't know what I wanted to do. Did I want to go to uni? Did I want to get a full-time job and start earning a bit of money to go traveling? Really didn't know. So I went down a local road that had lots of recruitment agencies when they were actual brick and mortar kind of storefronts at the time. Handed my prospective A-level grades and just went from there really. And within about 2 days, I had a phone call working for an independent business called Hassie Trading. They were all about fair trade handicrafts and imported them from Nepal. So supported charities over there. And Emma, the founder, wanted a wing woman. And initially it started out from her dining room in her house, moved into a big old warehouse unit, feeling a bit bougie with an actual desk and not just like a dining room table. And did everything from kind of three core routes to market, party plan. So imagine body shop, but with handbags. Wholesale, so beautiful little boutique-y shops in St. Ives and lots of coastal kind of positions. And then end user, so websites. And I think that was really where I got my first nibble, so I say, of e-commerce, understanding analytics, users' journeys, how to upsell. And Emma actually, when over the 2.5 years I worked for Emma, she was trekking in Nepal, no Wi-Fi, uncontactable for probably 18 months or 2 years at that time. And I just turned 17, 18. So for me, that experience was an absolute solid grounding for me to then build upon. So from there, fast forward, I worked for Pentel, the stationery company, for about 3 years, overseeing their sales reps team, building out ranges, working on margins and all sorts, and big back to school projects, big campaigns. Then from Pens, I went to aesthetic. So I was a brand manager for a chain of aesthetic clinics. At our height, I think we had 26 different clinics around the country. About 20 of them were in London, so back and forth to London quite often. And then from there, a very brief stint at Furnitureland, launching their American website as they were dipping their toe across the pond, as it were. And then from there, into Zara Raven. So yeah, a bit of a whirlwind, shall I say, of different experiences. But I'd say Hattie Trading and working for Emma from a little dining room in Tundon was probably the nibble and the golden nugget, shall I say, that gave me that taste of that e-commerce side of things. And that was really, you know, what, about 15, 16 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, it's like people go on about omnichannel, you know, how complicated it is. It's like you were doing it 15 years ago. I was doing it 20 years ago. And it's so much easier now. But how cool to have had that experience so early of multi-channel selling and the wholesale part as well, which is so increasingly important in e-commerce now. But you mentioned, you know, I mentioned in the intro that you've been at Zara Raven for 8 years, getting to senior digital and e-commerce manager. Senior digital and e-commerce manager could be anything. So what have your key responsibilities been at Zara Raven? Set the scene for us. Which pots have you got involved with?
Great question. It was a bit of everything marketing-wise. When I first started, being circa an £8 million business, at the time, PPC they'd heard of it, but they didn't really know what it meant. You know, spending £3 a day, and that was being capped at like 1 a.m. every morning. So it was really on that whole transition and growth of an education, I think, for those internally, really kind of inputting on PPC, SEO plans, hiring my own team. So it was just me, little old me, taking the reins of the website because I needed someone to really have that accountability. They knew the website was a good channel, but it was kind of a channel that they hadn't really unlocked before. So how do they really maximize on that? So fast forward from 2016 to now, looked after everything from PPC, SEO, CROW, so conversion optimization, managing multiple different agencies across multiple kind of layers, as it were, levels. And I'd say the last 18 months has really been focused on UX. I sound quite different in the sense of I assess the front end, so the presentation layer of the website, putting myself in the customer's shoes. A very good friend of mine once said, customer before code, which I love, and is really understanding the friction point. How can we mitigate that across the user journey? Look at those edge cases of customer mapping from pre-purchase to post-purchase. What does that look like? And how can we affect in a positive way? How can we make that journey better? But also then looking in the back end, the complete tech stack. What tools are you using? Are you using the most out of those tools? Can you leverage what's there? How are you maximizing on, you know, looking at search and merch tools, for instance? How are you maximizing these trending products? Or can you spin a narrative in the way that you've probably got overstocks? So how are you really leveraging the tools that you have behind the scenes? But also, how does that then impact and how does the customer then interact with those tools on the front end? So it's merging the two together, really. So I'd say, yeah, the last 18 months have been more the crow you work side of thing, but very much, I would say, in holistic, I hate that term in marketing, but the holistic view of PPC and SEO, so the acquisition channels, and also all the way through to fulfillment. So looking at ERP systems, potential of PIMs as well, or the acronyms we can throw under the net as well. Hey?
For anyone wondering what the acronyms are, just very quickly, ERP, think backend system warehouse management. PIM, think product information management, because that's what it is, PIM. Wow, Ash, about a million tangents I could take us off on that. But before we do that, this is the first episode in our B Corp month. So Sarah Raven, as a business, are a B Corp, very into sustainability, some amazing, huge projects that have been undertaken by the business. I mean, I think you've even got your own water reservoirs for watering the plants, which is kind of mad. Working on the e-commerce and the digital marketing side of things, did being a B Corp make life easier, make life harder, make no difference at all? Was it something you could leverage? How did being a B Corp affect your role?
So B Corp for us, although it's only a recent accolade and one that we're very proud of achieving. So it was October time last year that we achieved that status, which is awesome. And we're actually one of the first, the first in the industry amongst our competitor to have that accolade, which is awesome. But it kind of went way back when, before even being B Corp, because the amount of research and time and effort that went in to having that level of legislation was incredible. So for us, it was, What is our core beliefs? What makes us Sarah Raven? And what is our core DNA? And that core DNA is being more sustainable, whether that's working with our nursery up in Lincolnshire, as you mentioned. We've got two dedicated reservoirs that hold 6 million litres of water to help nurture and obviously nourish those plants. Our nursery is also heated by a biothermal mass boiler, which is fueled by straw from local fields and local waste food. So fully sustainable. An agent asked the stat, I'm going to give them to you anyway. 98% of our parcels are delivered plastic-free in recyclable paper and cardboard. And 97% of our plants are supplied from UK growers. So over the years, we've expanded upon those different elements because customer at the core, what is it that drove them to purchase and why believe in Sarah Raven? And a big part of that was being environmentally friendly. And I think a golden nugget that I think some brands perhaps don't unveil or perhaps don't dive into so much detail on is being that customer centric, looking at your reviews, talking to customers, listening into calls. What is it that they love the brand, but they're not so keen on certain elements? And that really for us was packaging. So we spent an awful lot of time and money sat with designers, different agencies, looking at how we can effectively deliver you a perishable product, a plant. And plant isn't perhaps the easiest thing to put in transit. And then if you've got a plant and add that with a pair of secateurs that are quite heavy and obviously do the job that you want them to do, but not whilst in transit, it's quite tricky. So it's understanding the level of consignments that we send, the complexity of what we send in basket connotations and combinations, to then actual nurturing and nourishment of the product that we're selling. So it's a big old task. But then how do you translate that into a digestible way for the consumer to understand? So things like icons on our product pages, deep linked pages, if you're clicking through from PPC shopping. If I'm a brand new customer, why should I believe in Sarah Raven? Why should I buy from you? Yes, okay, your pricing might be slightly premium, but why is that? So it's taking a customer on that journey on holding their hand, I suppose, through what makes us and why you should be buying from Sarah Raven.
What I love is how your answer there has combined UX, DNA and values and marketing all in that kind of, like, because they are inseparable. If you do them well, they are inseparable and they have to all feed into each other to create the user experience that makes all the effort worthwhile. You mentioned that part of your role has been kind of reviewing the tech stack and understanding how that delivers, whilst obviously I love customer before code, everybody, all e-commerce brands should have that written on the wall. But a huge part of delivering for the customer is having the right tech stack. And I feel from what I'm seeing in the industry, tech stack consolidation, tech stack optimization, we could mention AI, maybe we shouldn't, but anyway, there's all these pressures coming together, you know, profit pressures, etc., which I think a lot of businesses this year, whereas previously, like the spring was the time of the website rebuild, it almost feels like we're now in the time of the tech stack optimization rather than we'll just change the website and everything else stays the same. It sounds like you've been quite deep in that project and that process for a while now. What would your advice be to someone who's going, oh, we ought to unpick the tech stack and we feel like we probably need to give the tech stack some optimization and some potential. In your experience, what's the best way to go about doing that?
I would always take it back to, I'd say, quite simple rules. What's our must-haves, our could-haves, and our should-haves? If our core fundamentals and you want to be good at the basics, what are the core fundamentals that you want on your site? And I think it's very easy, as you said, at the beginning, you can kind of throw everything and see what sticks and what. And you might also get sold lots of different software and lots of different tools that are over-promise, probably under-deliver. I think for me, it would be a few tips. Going through your Moscow rules, your must-have, could-have, should-haves. Are they still delivering? Are they still right for the strategy in which we're wanting to deliver? But also understanding the strategy in which the business is going on. So if it is, for instance, you want to introduce more newness or you want to expand on your ranges, how do you make that front and center on the website? Is it through your search and merch tool? Is it through your CMS tool? I think you really have to sit down and put a spotlight on the core customer pages as well, the core customer journeys, and really what is it that's driving those conversions? I think we are, I think, guilty of overdoing it in terms of tech stack, which then down the line ultimately leads to page bloat, which then in turn affects your core web vitals. So top tip, short answer, I would suggest doing your Moscow rules and just taking it back to basics. Be good at what you're good at. Own it.
And the Moscow rules is the must-have.
The must-haves, you could have, you should have. So must-haves would be your priority one. Write down your requirements. For instance, I must have a search box in the header of my site. Put that as a must. Your should haves are more of a nice to have. So they're not quite as deemed as a priority as your must have, but would be better if they were there. And your could haves are, if we've got budget remaining and it would be more of a nice to have and a great add on and the cherry on top, let's add that to the scope too. So concentrate on your must have. Then your should haves, which are your second priorities, and then your tertiary priority that you could have.
I think people are so good at doing that, people are better at doing that when it comes to buying tech than they are when it comes to optimizing and reviewing what you've already got. So I think, yes, it's such a good place to start from. You've mentioned a lot during this chat about growing your team, about managing agency relations, about talking to experts throughout what you've done. Would you involve them in your tech stack optimization, or would it be, or would you recommend it's you in your bubble doing all the analysis, or are you bringing in all those opinions and getting everybody on board for that project too?
Definitely the latter. I think one of the hardest things in business, whether you be an internal or an external stakeholder, is you have to be along for the journey. An old mentor of mine used to say you have to have the same ticket going on the same bus in the same direction. I think if you don't have that buy-in, whether that's your external FI agency, if it's your internal stakeholders, your immediate team, you can't deliver and be a successful business or have a successful project if you're a lone ranger. You will have codependencies on others, whether that be your agency to help deliver the development or your right-hand man who's going to be helping you build QA or actually run that tech once it's onboarded. So I think honesty, accountability, and transparency are probably my core values and all of that. And building rapport is so important, whether it's agency side or it's internal. that's what's going to determine the success of a project, in my opinion. And like, we could all sit here, if we had a crystal ball, we could all sit here and be extremely rich, but bring these people on that journey. Because a mantra that my daughter likes to share with me, my 10-year-old daughter, sharing is caring. And it's not just delivering the project that you want to succeed, it's also mentoring those around you too and bringing them on that journey.
Okay, one last question for you about something else you've been mentioning that I want to get some top tips out of you about, because I know a lot of the audience are working on this at the moment, is the UX side of things, the conversion rate optimization. We're in a year where a lot more people are looking at profit, trying to squeeze extra profit out of marketing channels, trying to become more profitable, all these good things, which gives us kind of puts us a bit more on customer experience, and then the UX of the actual websites, which with all the tech can get hugely complicated. So those listening who are going, yeah, we need to improve our conversion rate optimization this year, we need to give more of a damn about our UX, any suggestions for where they could start improving that? Where would you look? What would you tackle first?
I've got two. First tip, your search. If you think about the acquisition channels and the money that you would potentially pay to, or the cost of a business to acquire that customer, whether it's direct, whether it's PPC, whether it's SEO, they would go through a search engine. And they would use that search box on your website as if they are using a search engine. So I would say prioritize your search, make it as optimal as possible. Look at your top sales for the last week. Look at what's trending. Look at the SKUs that you potentially got overstocks on. Or reverse, if you've got understocks that they're showing as a trending product, demote them, remove them. Really, you have to be in there multiple times a week, I would say, into your search portal, really managing it and doing some good housekeeping on it, because that is ultimately where customers are going to go. And also consumers, they like convenient. Look at the synonyms, look at the different search terms, put your redirects in. Things like help or returns, customers aren't really bothered about scrolling. They know they can find it in the footer. Put it in your search, put a redirect in, make it easier for them. And my second, I would suggest your product detail pages. So again, looking at your acquisition channels, deeper linked pages, money that you're spending on Google Shopping, Performance Max, customers clicking through, add product bundles to your product pages. So by that, I mean what goes well with shop the look, recreate the look, make it as simple as possible as a one click to add to checkout. Customers are very visual buyers. And also, again, going back to the convenient part, if you can tick the different products that will go alongside the core product, the main product they're looking at, click add to basket and the job done. Within one click, you could have two, maybe three additional items added to their basket. Doesn't necessarily need to be incentivized by a discount either. Add them to the basket and then hopefully you'll see your AOV increase just as a simple integration piece of that.
E-commerce Master Plan is supported by some of the greatest companies in the e-commerce sector. Here's a reminder of who they are. It's time for the top tips round.
Okay, I love this section because it gives me and our listeners some really quick ideas for taking our businesses to the next level. Ash, are you ready for the top tips?
I am.
Okay, the book top tip. If everyone listening to this podcast agreed to take Friday off and read a book to make their business better, which book would you recommend?
So one that you might need to dedicate a few Fridays to rather than just one, or maybe download on Audible like I did to make it a bit more digestible and off-piste, I'd say Becoming by Michelle Obama. And the reasons for this, not only was she married to a great leader, and I don't really want to get all political, but she herself is a wonderful leader. So the book covers, I feel, a lot of strong life lessons, but core themes which resonate with me are own your story, embrace your personal and your professional journey. Second one is find your voice, build your confidence as you grow. Third, build your support network, because you never know when you're going to need it. Fourth, embrace hard work and resilience. And last but not least, lead with empathy. I think if we all looked at those takeouts and applied them within our personal and professional lives, that's a solid foundation to build upon.
I like that recommendation. I love the fact you've broken it down into 5 key takeaways for us, but it's also a brilliant read.
Oh, isn't it?
It's a real, really, really fascinating book. The traffic top tip. Which marketing method do you either prize above all others or think doesn't get the press it deserves?
So this one, for me, is a bit of not faithful, like a solid handbag that you've invested in. I think it's SEO. If you get the basics right and have a clear optimization strategy, I don't think you can go far wrong. Make sure any member of the team you work with, whether it be marketing, buying, customer services, spend time looking through the importance of SEO. It can encompass anything from key search terms, which the buying team can use to expand the range, through to perhaps copywriters for product descriptions or understanding common FAQs of your products that customer services can relate to. It all makes for great content. And if you market up well and optimize, again, I think you have a strong starting point.
Love that. Okay. Tool top tip, maybe a collaboration tool, a social media plugin, a phone app, or just a way of working. Is there a cool little tool you use that makes you and your team more efficient from day to day?
I do, and I'm going to be naughty, but I'm going to give you 2.
Well, as you know, I always let people have 2 if they want, so you can, of course, have 2.
I do, so I'm going to go 2. So I think whether you're a lover or a hater of Microsoft Teams, I like to use their Planner app. It helps the team collaboration. If you're in e-com, but you're not a Jira ninja, like some of us might be, some of us might not be, but you like the thought of raising tickets or tasks, or perhaps you have codependencies on other stakeholders, it's a really cool, efficient tool which just integrates nicely with your team's chats. It keeps projects moving in the right direction. And you also don't need to be a tech guru and you can pick it up pretty easy. I like that one. And my second, it sounds really basic, but I think we can all say that we're guilty of distractions left, right and center in day-to-day work or even life generally. If you're in the zone and you want to get your head down, perhaps working on a sheet of numbers or your proofreading, whatever it might be, use the focus or the do not disturb feature on your smartphone. Phones are the worst culprit for distractions. And maybe give yourself a timer. So maybe that's 3. Give yourself a timer to get the work done. Put your phone into one of those modes and just be as productive as you can.
Yeah, there are definitely times where you just have to make the world disappear so you can focus on stuff. And then the task takes half the time. So
yeah.
Love that advice. Thank you very much. Carbon top tip. What's your favourite way to reduce the carbon footprint of an e-commerce store?
Cool. So obviously we've talked a little bit about B Corp certification, which is cool. But I'd say one thing that we trialled in a direct mail campaign a while ago, which I'm not part of the CRM team, but I think this was bloody awesome, was a potato starch wrap. It was a wraparound on a mailer. The feedback from customers was incredible. And obviously it saves the plastic wrap that you would typically get. And I think we had more love for the potato starch than we did for the content of the mailer. But you can imagine the conversation that started across our social channels, a really organic conversation piece. And I also think looking back, that could have been the catalyst to drive our real sustainable method that really drove it home to our core customer base. And I think that's where we evolved in our environmentally friendly journey. So that... Yeah, I look back on that with fondness, the potato starch. Who knew?
Who knew potato starch wrap on a catalogue could create so much positive impact and lead to so much too? Sometimes a brand needs the audience to go, yeah, we really love this about you, by the way. The thing that you just think is, oh yeah, we just do that. We always do that. Yeah.
Or something you might think is a little bit bonkers, but you've got the customers validating it for you. Like, actually, that was a really good knee.
Yeah, love it. Awesome. Well, look, Ash, it's been brilliant having you on the show. You've recently left Sarah Raven, though. So what's next for you? What's coming up? What are you looking for?
So at the moment, I'm considering or are open to all various roles, to be honest, fractional, whether it be part-time, full-time or consultancy. So you can reach out and find me on LinkedIn, so just Ash Pallett on LinkedIn. It would be great to hear from some brands that are on their growth trajectory, maybe between 5-10 million, who need a bit of a helping hand. Please reach out. I'll be more than willing to have a conversation and just get to know more about them as business holders.
Nice. Huge opportunity, people. Ash has achieved some amazing things with Sarah Raven and before. So if you're at all intrigued, message her before someone else does. So just go and find Ash Pallett on LinkedIn. Ash, thank you so much for being on the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. It is awesome getting to chat with you about all the cool stuff you've been up to. So thank you so much for having time to come on the show.
Thank you, Corey. It's been brilliant. I really appreciate your time. Thank you.
Okay, I do love it when we get to kind of explore the day job and the focuses of someone who is just deep in that e-commerce space for the day. So really great to have Ash on the episode. I guess my key takeaways, customer before code. How much do we all need that on the wall? And the other part was like the fact that for her, the customer, the DNA of the company, the values, the marketing, the UX, the working, the culture, all of that is so conjoined. Why would you talk about it separately? You know, it's like a very different angle to how a lot of us think things are happening. And it just shows the power of when you get all those things aligned and working together, the impact they have on the business. Now, to get your hands on the notes from this episode, including those top tips and the links to what we mentioned, head over to ecommercemasterplan.com. You can also use our direct episode short links. Just put ecmp.info/the number of this episode into the URL bar, and you'll be redirected straight to the right episode page. And why not add yourself to our email list when you're on the website? Because we'd love to send you more useful things. If you liked this episode and you want to know more about B Corps, because this is our B Corp month, you can find all our interviews with B Corp at ecmp.info/B Corp. Thank you so much for tuning into this and every episode of the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I bring you a new interview every week to inspire and help e-commerce business owners like you to succeed and thrive with your businesses, including progressing along the path to net zero. So if you know someone this show can help, please tell them to listen to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. I hope you have a great week and don't forget to keep optimizing.
Thank you for listening to the E-commerce Masterplan podcast. Find out more at ecommercemasterplan.com/podcast.